Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Good.
What we're going to do today is moving to third down. I really thought that we did a good job last week making some progress in that area, and that had been an area both offensively and defensively where we hadn't been playing very well, and it was improved. And I'm looking for that same type of improvement this week. Just talking to the guys, I thought throughout the course of last week, the practices were crisp. I thought we did a nice job identifying what we had to stop, what we had to do, and that translated. Yeah. And it's as we go through this and are able to teach off the different experiences, I think there's a lot of good teaching that came from cause and effect last week, and that's something that we'll continue to emphasize throughout the season. But it was more apparent last weekend than it had been. So with that, we'll open up to questions.
Are your new players here, and were they on the field at all yesterday?
No, they, with the flights and things and then the medical part of it, they had to go through all those tests. They were in the meetings later in the afternoon, so they caught the offensive and defensive meetings. Met with the coaches last night, met with them this morning, and then we'll be out at practice here today.
Since you know them, do you think they could step in more quickly than if they'd gotten two guys, say, from the 49ers?
Well, there is a variation in the system with just on special teams. Brad does different things than Mike Westhoff does, but I think knowing both these guys and the way that they approach their preparation, whatever they don't have or don't feel comfortable with, they'll make sure that they have that stuff by the time we get to Sunday.
How did Massakoi and Brubisky look in their first day after Braylon?
I thought they looked very similar to how they've looked throughout this process, and both the young kids have worked at it each day, and Muhammad's just gotten a little bit more time than Brian has, and I don't think their approach shifted dramatically yesterday.
And have you figured out, or will you this week, where Stucky fits on your field?
Yeah, that's going to be something that we'll work at and figure out, and with all those guys, with Mike, with Chancey, with Brian, with Josh, where they all fit, what they can contribute, how the roles on special teams are going to play into it. And a lot of the times when we game plan, there could be specific packages for each guy based on what we want to get done. And that's not just because of the move we made. It's what we typically do.
Are Chancey and Furry similar guys?
Chancey doesn't play defense. We tried him there a little bit. He didn't do bad. He played a little bit in the slot for a while, so he's had some reps there. They both have good short area quickness. They both have good hands. They both have they're both smart guys. There are some real similarities in terms of those things, and I think that group will get along really well together, and we'll figure out exactly where each piece fits and how we can best use them and move forward from there.
With that said, is it maybe Furry to play more defense?
I'm not opposed to him playing whatever percentage. You know, with Troy that year we had him, he actually playing defense. He actually had more defensive reps than he had offensive reps that season. I think it was 250 defensive reps and maybe 230 offensively. Troy, he played like a starting player between what he did on O, D, and special teams. Cumulative, he was around 700-800 plays, I think.
What made you decide to use Mike at safety last week? And it looked like you had a bunch of different secondary combinations you used.
Well, Mike has been working since OTAs at safety, a little bit at the slot corner spot, and with the experience he's had as a player and starter and the work he's done, it's it's less of a transition than saying taking somebody who only has played offense. So he's worked there before. There's a comfort level there. He's working down a little bit, which is newer, but he's heard a lot of the concepts defensively, you know, maybe different language now, but there's some stuff to build off of.
Was there something unique about last week where not only he played, but it looked like Hank played some safety and some nickel, and Mike was in a corner?
Well, their 10 personnel group is a pretty salty group. I mean, they've got a lot of speed. They've got a lot of playmakers. We're just trying to get the best fits for their different guys.
Experiment of wide receiver over,
is it the trade? To me, it's not an experiment, and I would never classify it as that. To me, he's a developing wide receiver, and he's done a good job with that, and he'll continue to do a good job with that and continue to improve and continue to play. What percentage he'll play could be different each game. Some will depend on how many reps he has on special teams, because you don't want to lose that element of it. And I think he's done a nice job doing both.
Can you talk about two of their receivers? First, Lee Evans, a local guy, and then Terrell Owens. You know, what challenges did they present and bring to the table?
Well, they both can make big plays at any point, and seen that throughout the season. Lee Evans has great vertical speed, very good. He's one of those guys that can threaten you deep, but he's got the change of direction. Well, if you play him really far off, he can stop quickly. Some of those speed guys can burn, but they can't transition. He's one of those guys that can burn and transition, and makes it tough. And he's made a ton of big catches over the years. He's made, unfortunately, too many against teams that I've coached. Hit us with one close game. They're backed up, and ball got batted. He fell into his hands and went way too long. Yes, he's a tough guy to deal with. And then when you look at T.O., it's the same thing. Bigger guy, stronger guy, but has the ability to go deep, can catch the underneath routes. Really a physical player that can threaten you deep. You know, I really like Josh Reed as well. Consistent, tough, slot guy, ton of conversions on third down over the years. And Roscoe Parrish, he takes a hitch and go 70. His change of direction, you see it on punt returns. I mean, you see it every week, and now you give him the ball in different ways, and he creates some underneath problems.
You've played a lot in your career. The addition of T.O., what kind of effect does that have on their offense from years past?
It adds another guy that can do a lot of things, and they have quite a few options along that receiving court they can go to, and they all have real strengths that you have to address. So he's another part of that. And really, when you look at the backs too, in last year in December, between Jackson and Marshawn Lynch, they were leading the NFL in receptions for backs. And it was whenever we played them late December, I think it was late December, and they had led, that tandem had the most receptions. I think it was 70 receptions. They got a lot of guys that can catch the ball.
The no-huddle, how do you prepare for it? What is the no-huddle? What are the problems in defending a no-huddle?
That's consistently a no-huddle like theirs.
It's getting used to it, because that's something that they do every day. And you know, that's how they operate. That's business as usual for them. So it's very natural. Defensively, we've practiced against it, I think, more than most, because we do it quite a bit. But the tempo is four quarters is a little different. And you work on it in practice. You give the offensive group a core group of plays, or you prep them ahead of time to try to make it as fluid as you can. Really let the defense feel it.
Yesterday, Victor Allen spoke of the advantages of it, how he thinks he can control the tempo of a game by using it. What are the advantages for for the defense in that matchup?
Or
do you feel that you're at their, you know, beck and call?
No, there's you still have to change personnel groups. So if you want to go from 11 to 12 or whatever they're going to put in, you know, there's some time down there. It depends whether it's a true hurry up, no huddle, or whether it's the type of no huddle where the play clock still gets down to about 10, 12, like you would if you huddled up. I think there are some real pluses to run the no huddle. I think that drives can be short when you're in the no huddle. You know, that could be a downside offensively when you run it. And we ran it pretty much the whole year with Ted in Baltimore, and I liked it there. Run it quite a bit, you know, over the course of time in New York. I think there are real pluses to it, and there's some things that don't quite have they give away or you give up.
Is Jamal looking like he's going to be able to play? You know.
Yeah, I think all those guys have a real chance this week, and it'll be like we had been rotating it prior to Jamal's injury. There'll be different packages, but both guys will have the ability to work in the different packages. And I thought it was great to see Jerome have the production that he did with the opportunity that he had. I'm sure that gives him an added boost, and. You know, now have two guys and go in and play first, second, or third down and do it well.
When you see all those guys, does that include Phil Dawson or not?
Yeah, I think he's part of that group. And I felt good about it going into last week, but like with any set of injuries, you get to the end of the week and it's not quite as good as you hope, but kind of feel the same way this week, so we'll see.
Last week you looked like a couple passes, maybe even four. The receivers weren't ready for the ball. A couple looked like Mike didn't get his head around, and the one hit Robert in the face mask. Is that just DA's first game? They're not used to the velocity, or what do you attribute that to?
Could be a little bit of all three of those things. You know, maybe coming out a little quicker. Getting used to the, I don't think really getting used to it because they've caught a lot of balls from him. You know, you want to catch the one that hits you in the face mask. I mean, you should have a shot at that one.
Do you think DA needs to do different, or is it that pretty much a receiver issue?
No, I think it's both. I think sometimes you can get the ball out too early in the break point and not give the guy a chance to really get two or three steps into his route to look back for the ball, and there's sometimes where if it hits you in the head or the hands, you got to come down with it.
Is Adams going to be able? Are you going to do the same thing you did in the secondary last week with the Adams, the cornerback? And that kind of thing?
Well, he'll continue to work there throughout the season, and he has worked there prior to last game, so he'll continue there. But with Mike, he's going to play different roles as well. He'll work at safety, he'll work at corner, and that's a nice thing that Mike can do because of his flexibility. We're quiet today, guys. It's Thursday.
We're all brailing
down. Need some enthusiasm here.
Coach, we're going to ask you about James Davis. How hard is it to put a guy like that on IR? And did something happen in practice last week?
No, you know, it's always hard. James done a really nice job since he got here, and you never want anybody to go on IR. And it just was one of those situations where didn't look like it was going to get better, and didn't look like it was going to be really good for him or for us, and by getting him doing the things that we need to do medically now and going through that process now, should come back that much stronger next season. And I really like him as a kid and kid man, And I like the things that he's done, the way he contributed. And I think he's got, you know, unfortunately it's not going to be this year, but he'll continue to grow.
How did you think, when you guys broke down how Derek played on tape, what did he do well? What could he have done better? How did you evaluate his performance?
I thought he did a lot of things well. I thought he did a nice job with the reads, did a nice job with some throws. He got some throws in there that were in a tight coverage. There were, I think overall the checks were pretty solid. One or two probably would have done a little bit differently, but when you look at it over a course of a game, wasn't the type of percentage where you look back and say, hey, the prep was flawed or we had too many checks or things like that. So I really liked a lot of the stuff that he did. The one interception, and that's something that we'll continue to work on. And, you know, I understand what he was thinking on the throw and how he went to it. And when you look at it, the DB made pretty impressive play, you know, falling back off the wide receiver on the outside, coming in, and you don't have an end zone. We didn't have an end zone copy. Couldn't tell if he got the hand underneath the ball or not, but it counted, so I guess he did.
You know, speaking of that,
remind me, could you have challenged
the fumble?
Jerome Harrison fumble? Because it looked like earlier they stopped they said the forward progress of the Cedric Benson.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And no, we couldn't have. It was forward progress, and that was a determination. So when they determined that forward progress is stopped, then it stopped, and yeah.
It was stopped, is what I'm saying.
That's how it was explained. Talked through the challenges, talked with Dick about the challenges, talked with the officials about the challenges, and you know, that was the explanation. That's one of those things that's subjective, and you know, you whatever it is, and just gotta move forward. So
you answered this one a few days ago or not, but late in the third quarter, fourth and 18 inches around the 10, choice between making it 17-14, if I recall, or going for the touchdown. How seriously did you think about going for it on fourth down there, and what ultimately made you decide not to?
Well, we actually had it closer on third down than we did on fourth down, and I think if we had stayed it, because on third down it was even, I mean, I don't know how many inches it was, but it was closer, and then we got a little bit further back, just thought at that point, take the points, tied game, and thought that was the best decision at that point.
I
think about
debate.
It every fourth down, I think about it. I like going for it on fourth down. I mean, yeah, those are one of those plays where if it hits, you're really, really smart. And if it doesn't, you're really, really not. I did it against Indianapolis one time because Indianapolis's offense is so explosive. I thought we had a real opportunity with the play that we had and understood that you got to score usually a lot of points to beat Indianapolis. And came back and ended up losing by 3 points to getting stopped on fourth down.
You know, hindsight's always 20/20, but you know, if you get seven there, then the whole shape of the game changes. I mean, do you go back over that decision after the game and say, yeah, you know, if we got the seven there, then the shape of the game would have changed?
Yeah, and you could look at the other way. If you didn't get three there, you know, the whole shape of the game would have changed as well. So,
do you feel you need to have an established number one receiver now? Or are you comfortable with maybe a different guy? Is that a guy? Or do you intend to have?
No, what I'm looking for is a group of receivers that get open and catch the ball, whether it's the one, the two, the three. Same thing with the quarterback's reads is, I think Tom used to say it, the receiver I like the best is the open one. You know, just be able to run the routes, be able to have the spacing in the routes, being able to provide the quarterback options. And it's not always necessarily going to be one guy. You know, I want them all to be able to do that.
Who would be your best deep threat now as a receiver?
I think Muhammad has shown his ability to get open deep, and some of those deep routes are built different ways. Sometimes they could be straight nine routes, or other times they could be over routes, like those deep overs, and different guys run the different patterns, some better than others. Sometimes with press man coverage, it's about how well you release, and then can you stack the DB, regardless of, you know, what your time speed is or anything like that. It's more that process than the other.
Like when you drafted him, was that one of the things you looked at, that this guy, you could throw it downfield to him, he can get downfield?
Yeah, you do. It's funny, sometimes you'll be in draft meetings and they'll say, wow, he can really run, really get deep. And I say, okay, what's the downside? Man, he's inconsistent catching the ball. It's like, okay, well, that's great that he's open, but if he can't catch it, well, what are you going to do with that? So, yeah, you want to be able to get deep and then convert.
Replays. How is that working out with that former supervisor up in the booth and kind of helping you out and steering you on, you know, what's challengeable and if you should challenge and it's a situation?
Yeah, it is good. And the nice thing with him is it's not just the game day stuff, but after the game, being able to talk to him about the different situations that came up. The officials that we have here, a lot of these guys work in the Big Ten. And, you know, I think he coaches them during practice. They're really working to try to give us the best look from that perspective that they can. And, it's a great asset to have, just the ability to talk to someone who knows the ins and outs of the rules. And you're going to hit on some, you're going to not hit on some. Some you got to take a chance on if they're scoring plays. You weigh those challenges more than it's second and eight and the spot's not very good. It would be third and three instead of third and five. It's in the middle of the first quarter. You may feel like you're going to get it, but it's not really worth the risk at that point.
Do you think you might save a couple timeouts over the course of the season that you could use later simply by having that trained eye up there telling you, hey, I don't think this is – I don't think you're going to win this. Don't waste your time.
Yeah, it's also he understands the nuances of the rules. He understands the interpretation of the rules. He understands, what things are typically get overturned, what things aren't. There may be some times where I think, yeah, this seems obvious. Look, you can throw it if you want to, but, you know, probably not going to hit here. So, I mean, he's done it, seen it.
Thrown to 13 times in the game, and I don't know, he might have been single covered on every single time. Now there's been a few, but the long one he caught, he was just single covered. How did Edwards, now that Edwards is out of the picture, how do you think it's going to be harder for a guy like Muhammad to get over?
Well, there's times, Tony, where you're going to get double covered, cover five a lot of times, which is split safety defense, man-to-man. Almost everybody is, there's help over both halves of the field, and they're up there pressed. You got to be able to do some things at the top of the route to move the DB who's underneath you. It's the same thing in cover one. It just depends on what the coverage is, what your route is, what your adjustment is, and what the other receivers, the complementary receivers, are doing as well. And with zone coverages, spacing is really important. Are you stretching the zone vertically? Are you stretching horizontally? Are you in the right spots? All that stuff is key. how well you run the ball, and that changes. It's hard to double cover as much if you're doing a good job running the football. So it's those all play into each other.
That made it fairly obvious that the Massaquoi coming off the game he had is going to get more attention than he got last game.
I'm going to see how they approach it and how they evaluate what they want to stop and what they want to do, where their pressure packages are going to be at all. And I'd love to find out exactly how they're going to do it.